The first reading can be found on page 877 in the Bible, and it's Ezekiel, reading verses 27 from chapter 43 to verse 4 of chapter 44. Page 877. Forgive me, I'm just trying to find where I'm at. At the end of these days, from the eighth day on, the priests are to present your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings on the altar. Then I will accept you, declares the Sovereign Lord. Then the man brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, the one facing east, and it was shut. The Lord said to me, "This gate is to remain shut. It must not be opened. No one may enter through it. It is to remain shut because the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered through it. The prince himself is the only one who may sit inside the gateway to eat in the presence of the Lord. He is to enter by way of the portico of the gateway and to go out the same way." Then the man brought me by way of the north gate to the front of the temple. I looked and saw the glory of the Lord filling the temple of the Lord, and I fell face down. This is the ending of the first reading.
And the second reading can be found on page 1028 in the New Testament section of the Bible. And that's Luke chapter 2. Chapter 2, starting to read at verse 22 to verse 40. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple of courts, where the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Thanks be to God for this reading.
Thank you, Yvonne and Peter. Good to see everyone this morning. I'm going to start with a story for you. Now, there were two parents who were just sick and tired of their children disturbing their car journeys with continual cries of, "Are we nearly there yet?" Probably something you can empathise with. So they were heading off on their summer holiday, and they warned the children. They said, "It's going to be a really long journey. We're not going to get there until after it's dark, so there's no point asking if we're almost nearly there or how much longer it's going to be." Okay? And so they set off, and then after a few minutes of peaceful motoring, four-year-old Johnny perks up and says, "Mummy, is it dark yet?" I thought that was a good one. It showed we don't like waiting very much. Whether we're 4, 14, 40, or 400, we don't like waiting, I don't think. And I was led while I was preparing this morning to look at this reading this morning a little bit through the lens of waiting, or at least a certain type of waiting that I think we all seem to experience in life. Because life's a bit of a roller coaster sometimes of emotions and experiences, or at least that's what I find. And often there's a type of waiting that falls in between the excitement of high moments in life and then set against the mundane realities of most of the rest of life. For example, if you get a phone call to say you've been offered that job you really wanted, and that's so amazing, fills you with joy, and then 2 hours later you're pegging the washing out on the line, remembering you've got 4 weeks left in the job you hate before you can move. Or when you receive insight from God, perhaps, for a new ministry venture or something of that ilk, and then you're so excited for what it could be. But then a couple of months later, you've had planning meetings, you've had preparation, never really seems like it's going to get off the ground. I think we all, somewhere in our life, have those experiences, those high moments of joy and elation, then offset against, you know, getting back down to earth with the realities of life and the waiting in the meantime. And I was led to look at today's passage through that kind of emotional up and down experience of some of the characters we're looking at today. I mean, first, if we look at Mary and Joseph, Mary in particular at this point, yeah, she's received insight from the angel Gabriel that she's going to give birth to a son through the power of the Holy Spirit. What a wow moment that must have been. Just, she must have been aghast and taken aback. But then she's back down to earth with 9 months of turbulence as her relationship with Joseph almost breaks down but gets rescued. She then has a long journey to Bethlehem. But then she gives birth to Jesus. Another wow, high moment. How amazing. But then when we pick up the reading today, it's when they present Jesus in the temple, which would have been, according to the law, 8 weeks after he was born. So they've had the wow moment of the birth of Jesus and being visited by the shepherds. And then they've had 8 weeks of caring for this baby in an unknown town. This baby that they know is special from the visitations they've had from the angels, but it's probably not very apparent right now how he's special. He probably just, as people put it these days, cries, eats and poos. That's what I've heard people describe babies as doing, and Jesus is probably no different. So they've had 8 weeks from the wow moment to, okay, getting used to looking after a baby in this unknown town. And then they have another wow moment in this reading when Simeon and Anna prophesy about who Jesus is. And we know that it's a bit of a wow moment because it says Mary treasured these things. So it's obviously stood out to her and hits her as a moment of excitement. But then, yeah, if we were to look forward in her life, there's more ups and downs. She has to run off to Egypt to escape the wrath of Herod, and then she gets encouraged later on in Luke when Jesus goes to the temple and he's displaying this wisdom and saying these strange things that she can't quite understand. But then also she has to go through watching the rest of his life as he grows up, what's going to happen. And then his ministry, how exciting. But then watching his crucifixion, how difficult. Then if we look at Simeon, he's been waiting for the consolation of Israel. And there's nothing explicit in the text to tell us this, but I get the impression, I think he's been waiting for a long time, because it said that he knew before he died that he would see the Messiah. And the way I read that, that's not the sort of thing that someone says to you if it's going to happen soon, is it? Before you die, you'll see this. It's not exactly like next week, tomorrow, before the year's out. No, before you die, you'll see this. And I get the impression he's been waiting a long time. He had that wow moment of God revealing to him, you are going to see the Messiah. And then he's had this waiting period. And it's the same for one of the other characters of such in this reading today that's not explicitly mentioned, but the nation of Israel. They're also part of that waiting. Through the prophets of old, it was revealed to them that the Messiah would come. But they've endured 400 years of silence between when the last prophet spoke and now. And there's that waiting of we've heard, but it's not yet. That wow moment of prophecy, but when's it going to happen? I think most of us can empathise with those kind of feelings. Like Mary and Joseph, we might have had to walk a long path to see something good come to fruition. Or like Simeon, we might have heard something from God, but had to wait a long time to see the outcome. That's one for me. I can particularly empathise with that. There's been some amazing things that God's revealed to me that I've seen come to pass, but there's some things he's revealed to me that haven't yet come to pass, and it's that difficult waiting of standing in faith, I believe God has spoken, but set against that, but it hasn't happened yet. Did I get that wrong? Is it just me? And it's that difficult waiting time. And equally, like the nation of Israel, we're in that corporate waiting time for the Messiah. I think as a church, we can empathise with that sense of corporate waiting. We've seen that recently in the life of our church as we look to the purchase of the orchards.
We met together as a church and we felt like we discerned it was God's will that we would buy this place. And then we've had to stand in faith for that through the ups and downs as goalposts with the council were moved, funding deals fell apart and then came back together. And I think as a church, we were waiting. We thought that we'd heard from God, but it wasn't really a smooth ride along the way some of the time. So if waiting in that way is a fact of life, I thought, what inspiration can we take from these characters that we've looked at today? Now, firstly, for Mary and Joseph, I think after Jesus was born, they probably didn't know what to do with themselves. It was a very confusing time, I would imagine. But they did what they knew best. They followed the law. Jesus circumcised on the eighth day, presented in the temple for purification on the 40th day. They followed the law as best they knew how in the absence of further instruction. And one of the other things that really stands out to me through the second chapter of Luke is there's three times that we heard that Mary and Joseph treasured things. In verse 19, after the angels have visited them, it says that they treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 33 from today's reading, that they marveled at what was said about him. And verse 51 later in Luke, after Jesus has gone to the temple as a 12-year-old boy, it says that Mary treasured all these things in her heart. And where we read the word treasured or marveled, there's three different Greek terms that sit behind that. Two of them mean to marvel or wonder, but there's a third one which appears in verse 51 that I want to focus on today, which has the meaning of to keep carefully, to keep safe, or to hold on to continually. I think that's one of the great lessons we can see. As Mary goes through this difficult time of emotional highs followed by difficulties, whenever she has a high moment, she treasures these things. Or as we take the more literal translation of the word in verse 51, she holds continually onto and keeps safe. And I think that's a great lesson. That was certainly needed in Mary's life. Yeah. Despite the fact that she had this amazing experience of giving birth to the Messiah, she still had difficulties. Yeah. Jesus wasn't born into a wealthy family. We read in verse 24, they presented two birds at the temple, as was the custom of the law. But if you look back, the custom of the law was that the price for a firstborn son was a lamb. But if you weren't well off enough to offer a lamb, you could offer two pigeons or two doves instead. So they weren't a well-off family. They weren't a secure family, because conveniently, at the end of our reading, we just read, after Mary and Joseph have done all that was required by the law, they returned to Galilee, their own town of Nazareth, which conveniently misses out what we see in the other Gospels, where they had to run off to Egypt to not get killed by Herod in the meantime. They weren't a secure family, and they faced suffering. As we read in verse 35 from today's reading, it says, a sword will pierce your own soul too. So Mary experienced these ups and downs of life. And you know, she wasn't wealthy, she wasn't secure, and she suffered. But to get through, she treasured the good things, the things that God had done in her life, and she held on to them, kept them safe in her heart. Because, like Mary, following Jesus will lead us into difficult times within ourselves and outside of ourselves. In verse 34, we read that Jesus will cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and will be a sign that is spoken against. And there's different interpretations of how to understand that verse, which I think both, whichever one is the true meaning, both are valid. In that one is, it looks at falling and rising is people in Israel will, some will accept Jesus and rise, some will reject him and fall. But another interpretation is that in order to rise, we must first fall. And the falling and rising of many in Israel represents the dying to self that has to come before the rising of self. But that equally it then goes on to say Jesus will be a sign that is spoken against. And likewise, the sword piercing Mary's soul. Some think this is her having to witness the sight of Jesus crucified. But then some think it may be as well a subtle reference to even Mary's need to die to herself before she can live. But either way, we know that some accept Jesus and some reject him. And we know that we must die to ourselves in order to live in him. And that's one of the difficult times inside ourselves that knowing Jesus brings us to. When we know Jesus, we come face to face with what's unholy within us, and we have to seek to put it off. Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Romans 8:13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But by the Spirit, if you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And they sound like painful experiences. Knowing Jesus opens our eyes to everything good in him that's also in us, but also makes us keenly aware of our own shortcomings. Equally, if we think outside of ourselves, I've already mentioned, you know, Mary faced the suffering of going on the run to Egypt, and she faced the suffering of watching her son be a sign that is spoken against. That's what we read in verse 34. Simeon prophesied, Jesus will be a sign that is spoken against. And indeed he was. And that must have been difficult for Mary as a mother to watch that. Then if we go back to Simeon, as I said before, we don't know how long he's been waiting, but we get the sense, or I get the sense at least, that it might have been a long time. But he's not given up hope and expectancy. And many of you, like me, may resonate with that idea of having heard something from God and being in that time of, is it going to come to pass? Was it just me? And it's important not to give up hope and expectancy when we've heard from God. Simeon didn't. He was on the lookout for the move of the Spirit. And when he was moved by the Spirit, as it says in verse 27 of today's reading, to go into the temple courts, he saw that which he had been waiting for so long. He saw the Messiah. He kept his hope and expectancy, and he didn't miss the opportunity to see that which he'd been longing for so long. And through his faithfulness, we have some important words. Possibly some of the key verses from the text today are the words of Simeon, because the opening chapters of Luke seem to be all about what's prophetically spoken about Jesus. First through the angel Gabriel as she visits Mary and Joseph, then through Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, as she recognises Jesus in the womb, then through the angels again as they come and speak to the shepherds proclaiming who Jesus is, and now through Simeon in today's reading. He says, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And actually, like Simeon, we've seen with our own eyes God's salvation, a light of revelation to us. And I believe that's one of the things that, as we learn from Mary, we should treasure, hold on to, keep continually in our heart, that the salvation, the light of revelation that has appeared to us in our own lives. Because Christian life is a journey of up and downs. There's time to be still, time to move on to a new thing, times to continue the old traditions, at times to shake things up. I think the challenge God is giving us today is, will we, like Mary and Joseph, hold on, keep continually in our hearts the testimonies of the good things God has done in our lives, so that we can hold firm in faith until the end? And will we, like Simeon, be on the lookout for the next thing that God's doing, the next move of his Spirit, even if it feels like we've been waiting forever? And when, along with the nation of Israel, and indeed now all of humanity, we're invited to die to ourselves again that we might live, will we have the courage to take the next painful but healing step towards Jesus? So I want to end with a prayer now. And my prayer is that, Lord Jesus, today would you remind us of all the amazing things you've done for us? And would you help us to hold them continually in our hearts? Lord, would you make us expectant and hopeful for the next thing that you're doing, that we may ever be open to the next move of your Spirit? And Lord, when we are faced with the invitation to take that step closer to you, help us to continue to die to ourselves that we might rise in glory, not to be those who speak against you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.